And the difference between those two,
yeah,
which the plan never changes, and the plot takes many turns before it gets to its destination.
Amen. Thank you. That's it. We've been looking. Please, let us pray. Father, the object of every message is paraventure. It may please you by your Holy Ghost to make your wonderful plan clear in the heart of your people, especially in the face of realities that, by your predeterminate counsel, war against the truth. In the face of demons and principalities, philosophies and ideologies, happenings and events, you are steadfast in your plan and faithful in your promises. Father, I pray that you help us to be in tune with this. Your word says you open their eyes that they may understand the scriptures. In many ways, we are confused. There are too many narratives. We get lost in one or the other. Too many doctrines. We stumble at one or the other of them. Too many practices. We are absorbed oftentimes too much that we lose focus on the plan. That we lose focus on the blessed gift, our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you please focus our inner man this morning. Help us to learn to see you and to love you for what you're doing. Pray that our minds and our bodies will not resist the truth. No matter how difficult it is, I pray, God, that you grant to us the grace to see the beautiful work and plan that you are putting together. And the way you walk in your people, that we may receive encouragement, knowing that the same experience in us that we see, that those who walk with you have been through it. Lord, we want just your truth this morning, Lord. Please, my Father, we are people. You are God. We are limited. You are unlimited. We will only achieve what it pleases you to make us achieve. Your things, Lord, they are not like the world things. They are not at times amenable to smart people or brilliant people. Your ways, Lord, they are not amenable to theologians, unto the wise of this world, but to the simple. You make yourself revealed, and you reveal your Son to fishermen, to those whose hearts are humbled before you. You said, see our calling, not too many wise, not too many learned, not too many princes of this world have been called, because it has pleased you, Lord, by the foolishness of the gospel to save us, to turn aside the counsel of the wise, to put asunder the understanding of the prudent, that all glory may be yours. Help us this morning. The psalmist said, Lord, enlighten my eyes so that I may see glorious things from your word. Please, Lord, enlighten our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I began to just look at the Bible, and part of the frustration for me is that there are many promises in the Bible that, if you are going to be very honest, just did not come to pass. You shall be the head and not the tail. How many of you here are the CEO of your own companies? I don't mean the people who actually formed their own company. What's this, Psalm 91? He shall give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your... I think that has come to pass only on Similoluwa. Every time when I was there, I hit my foot against the rock. So literally. This old idea that once you become a Christian, everything will be fine, it's a myth that is perpetrated, but it's not true. It's not true in the experience, everyday experience of saints. And it is very hard for us because we think when we admit that the literal interpretation of Scripture, our life experiences do not seem to align with those literal interpretations, we think we're denying the awesomeness of God. But I began to think to myself, maybe we're the ones reading the Scriptures wrong. Because what God says must come to pass. He has put all of our sicknesses upon his body. I'm sure we have, at least all of you here, have suffered one disease or the other. I would think that if that sickness were on the body of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we shouldn't be having the flu. I took the flu shot. I hope everybody here has taken the flu shot. Please, I understand the flu will be terrible this year. Take it. It is good to take the flu shot. You've not taken it? Yeah. Exactly. So you have alternate, yes, but you're taking precautions. Okay. So it's the flu shot is supposed to be precaution, right? So I hope none of us is wondering, is saying, because we are born again, we are going to go to the workplace, not take any kind of precautions, and automatically, because we said the sinner's prayer, we are immune from the regular disease. We have said it. We have believed it. There are whole Christian movements, whole books written about this. But what has been astounding to me is that we haven't been able to step back and admit that it hasn't worked. It's worked for some people, but not for most. We're supposed to be rich, prosperous, and never broke when we come to Jesus. And there are scriptures that have been quoted to back that off. But we all have to admit that God has allowed each and every one of us to go through the regular process of working hard, and there are times they are just broke. Many people here have lost their jobs and they've been broke. Many people here have had to pray for financial assistance. So I'm thinking, maybe we're reading the scriptures wrong. And that was how three weeks ago, I began to look at the life experiences of other saints in the Bible who have received fantastic promises like us. I remember we started by looking at the life of Abraham. And we asked ourselves some questions. Here was a man who was told with a fantastic promise. He was drawn from his house that he's going to be the father of many nations. And I would think that if God told you, you will be the father of many nations, you would at least start with about 15, 20 children. The man was turning 80, and his wife wasn't having a child. And then Stephen said to us in the book of Acts chapter 6 that by the time he was supposed to hear, the Lord said, I will show you a land and you will inherit it. That was the promise. There's no sugarcoating. That was a literal promise to him. Stephen told us that by the time that Abraham died, he did not inherit even a foot of the land of Canaan. It did not happen in his lifetime. If Abraham had had neighbors, and Abraham had told his neighbors, Mommy, if Abraham had told his neighbors, I had a voice of God. God told me that I should relocate to Iceland, and I'm going to inherit Iceland, and I'll be the father of many nations. And the neighbor met Abraham after 40 years, and he was still squatting. And the neighbor was at Abraham's funeral, and he hadn't inherited Iceland. The neighbor would say, the promises of God, is either you were crazy or you had it, or you're schizophrenic, you probably were hearing voices. But Abraham had the Lord. And not just Abraham wondered about this, but we went to Genesis chapter 15 and we saw, we're not the only one once wondering about, Abraham wondered about this as well. He went to the Lord, he said, Lord, but I have no child. This wasn't what I heard. And it was when he did that, then the Lord took him through all those mechanisms of going, setting up an altar, getting a dove, dividing it, and the Lord made him wait. There were vultures, then there was terror. And finally, when he heard the voice of the Lord, what he heard was, your inheritance will be held captives for 400 years, and after that, I will bring them out. And we pointed out that wasn't what Abraham was thinking he would hear. Abraham would think that what he was about to hear is that, don't worry, Sarah will have a triplet, Then in 3 months, another triplet. Then in 3 months, those triplets will have triplets. And then the triplets will have triplets, who will have triplets. And after that, there will be a fantastic deal to buy a swath of land in Canaan. And that will become a great estate. And that is how I plan. That wasn't what he had. God called Abraham to a great plan. Abraham did not know that that plan was not about himself. Now, there were plots within that plan that involved Abraham. He was supposed to lay the foundation in faith. Then he was supposed to have one son. And that son, Isaac, was supposed to have sons. And the Lord began within this plot of life, which God did not discuss with Abraham, that Jacob, who was the younger of two twins, was to have 12 sons. And these 12 sons were supposed to be the tribe of Israel. But even the plan was not about Israel. Out of only one of these tribes was supposed to come the Lord Jesus Christ from the tribe of Judah. And we've been encouraging ourselves that we should look at the long-term plan of God. God's promises come to pass. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. But oftentimes, we're impatient. We had a musician in Nigeria that sang a song when I was younger. It says, what really bothers creature, most of us, is because we really do not know the timing. It's not as though it will not come to pass, but we're bothered about the timing. God will fulfill his promise. Now, in the same way you and I are called, your life is specifically designed by God for a purpose. Many times we're absorbed about what is currently happening to us or where we are. But there's a greater plan. You are just a tiny plot in the plan of the Lord God Almighty. But there's nobody who is part of the plan of God that will not be blessed. And we began to look. We looked last week at the life of Jacob, the man Jacob. And we saw that with Jacob, his life was filled with regular and ordinary things. You would think that someone who is called the child of promise will have a fantastic life. But what we found in the life of Jacob last week was that he had kids. His first and second born were murderers, Simeon and Levi. His second and third born, rather. They went and they tricked a whole tribe of men into circumcising themselves. They made a pact with a whole tribe of men. And then when those people were weak, they went and they killed everybody in that tribe, every male. And because of that, their father, Jacob, cursed them. And we read the curse that Jacob put on them. His firstborn, Reuben, went in and slept with his own concubine. His own son went in and slept with his own concubine. Just the kind of crimes, the kind of things that you expect to hear from families that dysfunctional. I don't know what you think you're going through now, or maybe there are some stuff happening to you that you don't think should be happening to righteous people. This man, in thy seed, Jacob, will all the nations of the world be blessed. Was a man of promise, yet his life is mundane, day-to-day experience was ordinary. Brothers and sisters, many times when we hear sermons about Jacob, we hear about him digging up 10 wells, and finally one of them brought water. We hear about his 10,000 sheep and so many thousand. We don't hear the agony. We don't hear him going before Pharaoh and saying, my life has been hard. Do you know that the mother, Rachel, the mother of Benjamin and Joseph, died at childbirth? Did you know that? Yeah. How did we miss that? That's a major thing. Yes, when she gave birth to Benjamin, her second son, the Bible says that after that, she died in childbirth, and she named the child Beloni, Is it the child of weeping or sorrow or thereabout? But the father chained it to Benjamin. Just regular bad things happening to holy people. But somehow, the Bible made sure to document all of those things so that you and I can learn about the way God works. Your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. Anybody, the Bible on the other hand will tell us, did you know? Have you ever wondered, brothers and sisters, that there was famine in all the land in the time of Joseph? And we're going to take a look at the life of Joseph today. The Bible says that we all know about the interpretation of the dream by Joseph, that the whole world, that part of the world, there was famine for 7 years. You would have thought that the Lord would exclude the little patch of land in Canaan that Jacob was living in. That is what is supposed to happen to a righteous man. They're not supposed to have famine. After all, the Bible tells us that the Lord blessed him. But why did he have to send his son to Egypt to look for food? The things that happen to regular people, God made sure it happened to him. Just like it's happening to you. Somehow our theology today tries to immune us, inoculate us from regular daily experience. We try to somehow evince from scriptures a kind of escape from the things that God has put in place. But it's a myth. It is these scriptures that you and I have been reading. They are full of wisdom. And I'm almost afraid that we are all overlooking probably. We get the bigger one. We get the promises. We get the promises of God, the strength. We got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We get the word, the confession of faith. But I'm afraid that we're missing the daily lessons that are supposed to encourage our hearts so that we do not get discouraged in this walk. Because if only you look into your fridge and you can't find food. If you remember that Jacob once looked into his fridge and he couldn't find food as well, you wouldn't think that you're cursed. You know that God has a plan. The Lord loves us. And God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He hasn't changed his strategies. No matter how many books we write. There have been church ages when for 700 years we were wrong in our interpretation of scriptures. Until the Lord brought a priest whose name was Martin Luther. And then the Protestant movement started. And then we were able to read the Bible for all it's worth because of the work of this man and similar men like him. But I wonder, for 700 years, God did not change his plan because we did not understand. For several hundred years before Christ came on the scene, the Pharisees and Sadducees did whatever they wanted. God never changed his plans. He waited for the right time. The same plan that he had in Genesis is the same plan that he has now. All we are reading about are plots. Don't get carried away. The plan of God for David is different from the plan of God for Kimoi. He is not going to inherit every feet of land that his foot steps in, because that's not God's plan for him. He's probably going to buy a few houses, that's it. But for Joshua, he would, because that was God's plan. Let's not even talk about the sons of David and what they showed him. If you want someone's blessing, think carefully. Do you also want their trials? But what God has given to you, he knows you and is sufficient. He just says we should be patient. All things work together. We can't compare ourselves to others. We are not Abraham. Or will you like to wait till you are 80 before you have your first child? How come you want his cattle and you don't want his trial? We pick and choose, but you have to take the Bible as a whole. Who do you want to be like? Joseph? Let's read a few things about Joseph. Let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, to Genesis chapter 39. I'll just point out a few things and we'll hopefully close early. Yes, please.
Understand what's going on in your life. You made an example last week and you said, you know, Sister Falake is here and she may not know, but maybe 5 years from now, God has her in Maryland, in New Covenant, to be at a place to help someone else.
Yeah.
Now, she doesn't know what's going to happen 5 years from now. She may not even understand why she's here. But how can she just embrace and just say, well, I don't know, but God, you have a plan, and just be open to that?
Praise the Lord. I think you put your finger on the crux of Christianity. It's called faith. Hebrews 11, what is faith? The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Or maybe it's the other way around. The evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. That was what Abraham had. The Bible says when God told him his plan, actually when God called him, the Bible we read in Genesis 13, Abraham believed in God and that was imputed to him as righteousness. Do you believe God? What we believe is not that God took us through all the plans. Then it's easy to believe. If God showed you, if your eyes opened and you saw a mansion in heaven and Jesus and all these people, Sister Stacy, you will go and climb the highest mountain at the highest building in DC and jump down because you want to go there. Faith. That is why Christianity is anchored on believing God. Do you believe the Almighty God? That is faith. He did not show Abraham his full plan, but Abraham was faithful because the Bible says in Hebrews 6, he believed in him who has promised. Do we believe in Jesus who has spoken to us? Because by the time we end this, we talk about God's plan for us. Why are we going through everything? How will all of this story end? God will always tell us his plan. He will not tell us the plots. We all know what is the plan of God. What are you waiting for, brethren? Grandma, we know we are waiting for Jesus to return. That is the plan. He has not hidden it. He said, the Lord Jesus said, behold, the angels said, behold, the same Jesus that you see rise up is coming again. Whatever happens between when he rose up and come again are plots. But you hold on to one thing. He has promised it and he will bring it to pass. That is how. If you believe he who has spoken, if you believe that the same person who told you to go and kill your child is able to raise him up from the dead, then you will not be troubled. Build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the trick, woman, what we need to pray is that Satan does not change our faith into sight. That we are not like Thomas always saying, show me, then I will believe. Because God does, as you will learn in the experiences of the saints, God does not always show. He only shows when he wants to. Right.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, I believe that in faith, trust and belief and dependence and reliance upon God is inherent in faith.
Yeah.
So we have to trust God, although we can't trace him.
Yeah.
We don't know his blueprint and plans, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that known.
And it's not. It's only faith comes by, how does faith come? By hearing what? That's what Satan has done. Satan has made sure we don't hear the word of God. See how he has hidden from us how Rachel died. You know how many people have been discouraged? See how he doesn't allow us to hear much about the suffering of Lazarus, the poor man. See the details of Jacob's life that are not part of our daily Bible study, like we studied last week. Did we know that his first three sons were murderers and an adulterer? Did you know that? It's right there in scriptures, and God meant us to know. If we had known it, then when you are a Christian and you've done everything right and you see some of your children going wayward, you will remember Jacob and you will not think that God has abandoned you and your faith will not falter. But when someone teaches you that the new Christian life, the evidence of faith, is everything is going on well with you, then when you come across trial, you see how Satan magnifies the glory of Christ to us, but not his suffering. Nobody wants to dwell. We hear about Gethsemane and the cross only once a year, Easter. Why? Satan does not want us to focus on all of those real things. The suffering. Has anybody ever wondered what happened to his apostles? The great apostle Paul. What happened to him? Even if you know, have you ever wondered why should these things happen to men of promise? I think God would have been more glorified if Paul had pointed to Nero and said, and we would have had more about it. If the way the life of Paul ended was that he pointed to Emperor Nero and he said, Nero, you think you're an emperor, I will now show you who is greater. My God is greater than you. From today, you'll be mad. And it's documented in Roman history that Nero went mad, like Nebuchadnezzar, right? Where Shazam Likova? Would have had more about it, but no. Satan will not let us talk about John the Baptist, a great prophet who was beheaded. And of course, he will never let you talk about what happened to Christians after the book of Revelation closed. The Christian experience is a life of faith. So Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must daily pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. That used to be the Christianity that we knew. But the Christianity of today is, God, what can you do for me? Now. The evidence of God's presence with us today is that everything is going on well. And we don't open our eyes to see that the most blessed of us, the most hardworking, the ones that love God the most in recent Christian histories have suffered some incredible things. So that's what this lesson is supposed to address. Do not be discouraged. Can't it not strange when you fall into diverse temptation? Peter told his people. I just like us to study how God works, the different plots, how patient the Father is, but he will fulfill his promise. So that when your faith is tried, you won't think that God has abandoned you. You will think that that rich man thought he was the most blessed on earth, whereas the beggar called Lazarus was actually more blessed. God does not see the way we see. Just hold on. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because weeping may endure the night, but joy will come in the morning. It's faith. 39, Joseph. And I'll point out a few things from the life of Joseph as we continue to study. So he was sold to Potiphar's house. We all know the story of Joseph, Genesis 39. I'd like you to please take a look with me at verse 2. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. Do you get this irony, brothers and sisters? The man was sold to slavery. Has anybody ever studied slavery? I did. There was a period in my life that I was very curious about slavery and I studied it and I bought books. I actually worked 12 years as a slave, or was it 12 hours? 12 years as a slave. Everything I could, Amistad. I went to St. Louis, history of St. Louis, of the islands. I studied it. I almost wept. It's terrible. I don't think there's a crime. A woman, a slave woman, conceives and has a child. All of you know this. If you have someone, a child that you love here, you know this. And the child is picked off from between her legs and sold. That's how it works. People were properties. Slavery. You worked all day. Slavery. You marry only at the permission of the master. And then the master can walk into your cabin and take your wife, and you cannot say a thing.
You are displayed for auction by the seashore, and they inspect your mouth. They like you're buying a horse. It's the most dehumanizing thing ever. I can't imagine that the slavery, the cross-Atlantic slavery that I read about, is less worse than the slavery in Egypt at the time of Joseph. But verse 2 here says, the Lord was with him and he was a successful man. A slave was a successful man. Why? The Lord just made his slave work, gave him favor in his slavery. How do you measure success, brothers and sisters? He was a successful man because his slavery was part of the plan of God. God brought him there to be slaves. We're going to see this later before we close the sermon. The rest of the world looked at him and called him the unfortunate. But the Bible says he was a successful man. Have you ever heard anybody call a slave a successful man? He was there for the purpose of God, and the Lord was with him. Where are you today? You might know. This same Joseph, if you read chapter 37, was the favorite of his dad. He wasn't. He was the man who had a dream. And he saw the moon and the star and 12 stars and the sun bow down before him. He was the man who got the exquisite material and had the coat of many colors. He was the man who saw the sheaves bow down before him. I mean, he was the most likely to succeed. He wasn't shy about it. He was a dreamer. He was an extraordinary person. His case was not supposed to end in slavery. I don't know what stage of God's plan your life is today. It might be in the slavery stage, but it's still an integral. God showed him those dreams. He knew God showed him. And he was so confident about it. He told his dad, he said, you are going to bow before me. Mom is going to bow before me. I was wondering how the Bible, because his mom was already dead by then, right? But anyway, I don't know. Maybe Jacob was talking figuratively. I'll talk to you later about that. Maybe when you were coming to Maryland, you had another vision for yourself. Maybe when you were about to get married, there was another vision. Many people say, this is not where I thought I would be in the world. It's exactly in my life. It's exactly where God, if you align with God, where he wants you to be, if you are in Christ. God never makes a mistake. Is it easy on you? Was it easy on Joseph? The Lord will show you fantastic vision. When I got born again, it was after I got born again that trouble came. It was after he declared the promise of God to his brothers that trouble came. Some people say he should have kept his mouth shut. He didn't know. If he knew he was going to be sold into slavery, I'm sure he would have kept his mouth shut. This Joseph, anointed of the Lord, was the one that would be betrayed by his own brothers. Has anybody ever been betrayed by their own family? I mean, big time betrayer. And I ask, why are these stories in the Bible, brethren? If you're going to confess, maybe to a lesser degree, your life story has been like that. If we were to write our own life stories, I think we write them differently from where they are now for most of us. Thank God, most of us have had fantastic lives. But if God lays his finger on you for a special use, you don't have it. And none of you have a choice what the plot in your life will be. The only way you can have a choice if you abort God's plan for your life. Then you can carry on. But as long as your confidence is in the Almighty God, don't worry about it. There will be different plots in our lives. He was a successful man in verse 2. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper. And then, to bring to pass God's plan, he got into prison. By verse 20, he was in prison. It wasn't enough to be a slave. You have to be an imprisoned slave.
Verse 20, 39, Genesis. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison and in the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners who were in the prison, where whatever they did there, it was his doing. Would you like to trade places with Joseph? Because people say, oh, he was successful, he was in jail. You like to be a successful prisoner, brothers and sisters? It's so easy to say. Put yourself in his shoes. I was a man that God had chosen. These are not easy experiences. I don't know what you're going through. I just want to show you that the people that God loves most, that are useful to God, they go through these abnormal things that you're going through. The Bible is replete with these stories, brothers and sisters. They just don't tell us again. They don't write books about them. Count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. Don't be discouraged. DG. Right? It's exactly in God's plan. 41. To tell you that those who, you can say, oh, but these are people who are called of God, they're anointed. You know, he was a man full of dreams. You know, Abraham actually had a voice. Who am I? I'm just a poor person. I'm not even sure about what God's plan is. You're sure. You know, Jesus says he loves you. There's no controversy about that. You know, Jesus says he's going to make everything all right for you. You know, he says he's coming for you, that where he is, there you may be, that he's going to prepare a place for you. That in his father's house there are many mansions. That if it had not been so, he would not have told you. You know, he said, do not be troubled. Let not your heart be disturbed. Believe in me. 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 No matter what, believe in me. Believe in the Father also. For in my father's house there are many. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not the kind of peace that the world gives. So don't tell me God has not spoken to you. He has spoken all of this to you if you believe in Jesus. We know his plans. I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11, that I have towards you. They are plans of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end, to prosper you and to bring you. I know the plans. It's like telling a child who is going, no. Similolo, our daughter, has been campaigning to have her phone changed for a long time. She has these ugliest of phones now. I'm saying, we know the plan that we have towards you. There are plans of good. We don't want to embarrass you before your friends. Trust me. Trust me. We know the plans that we have. There are plans. We'll bring you to, you are going to be happy. Yeah. So she'll deliberately forget the phone at home because it embarrasses her. Say, look, you can't handle a smartphone. There are kids your age that can, but I know you can't yet. I know but she wouldn't understand. Genesis chapter 40, verse 14. I'm just pointing out a few verses. I want us to please look at this. May the Lord help us to look at this and put ourselves in the shoes of these characters. There was the dream of the baker and the butler. I'm skipping the whole story because I don't want to take a lot of time. You know the story. How these were the king's officers, but I want you to picture this. These were not mere men. These were days before you had business analysts, senior programmers. The choice positions in the city were positions that were close to the king. The closer you were to the king, the more important you. Just the fact that you are the king's cupbearer, well, you had status in the community. It's like you are the CEO of something. Your entire household was blessed. Which means you have people who are willing to pay you a bribe if only you can drop something, if only you can help them send a message to the king. You are seen as a man of influence. These were no ordinary people. So in the jail, Joseph was in charge of both the baker, the man that was entrusted with baking the king's bread, and the butler, the man that was in charge of wine and the other things that the king wanted. Two extremely important, I don't know, if this were in Nigeria, that would be General Kelly and I don't know who else. Yeah? Oh, home on my mind.
America. That would be General Kelly, and I don't know who is Sister Ronke is not here. And something. Someone who is not the child of President Trump. Important people, the chief of staff, and probably special advisor to something. So they were jailed. And they both had a dream. And Joseph, once again, interpreted the dream. There's a lesson for you here. Many of us resent the gift that God has given to us because it's not making us money. Or because we feel that what, you know it, you know that gift that God has given you that is not selling. Maybe God has called you in the house of God to be a teacher. I know, no, being a singer, I'll be able to cut an album or two, you know, and this is the more popular one. Don't. Because the gift of a man, we bring him before kings and not mere men. Eventually, what God has deposited in you is what you, what he will use in you. You cannot add to God. We cannot be innovative in Christianity. All the efforts of men have never added anything to God. The only thing that prospers in Christianity is what has been anointed by God. In the case of David, it was his gift of dreams. So David had this dream, and they had the dream and interpreted the dream to them. And then he says something. And I just want you to see the humanity. 40:14. But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Does this sound like a man that hears from God? Imagine someone coming to Brother Bumi for prayers. And the Lord used him. He lays hands on this person. And all kinds of demons flew out. And the person's business, what do they call it? We call it blow. Just blew. You know, the person blew. You know, just had a lot of money. I remember Brother Bumi, after praying for the person, saying, I also write software. So when this dream comes to pass, you might need a chief technology officer. Please remember me. I mean, it will take some agony of mind to do that. But that was it's not something you expect from someone that you think was living a life that was unperturbed. He was a deeply troubled. He was struggling with his situation, as some of you may be struggling with your situation today. When I read this, my heart broke. But remember me. Here was Joseph saying, Lord, I'm the same person who had the vision of being the prime minister. Now look at me. I was outside, now I'm in jail. I don't see any way out. I'm in a strange land, Egypt. I have no connections. I'm a stranger. Look, here are two powerful people. Maybe I could align myself with them. So remember me. And for 2 years, he wasn't remembered. And God will make sure you are not remembered until he remembers you, in Jesus' name. It is better to be delivered by God than by man. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Woe is he who trusts in men. I hope you have seen some similarities between the life of Joseph that is not often spoken about and your life. Just in case we think Joseph, I mean, the way we tell the story of Joseph is as if he had a coat of many colors every day of his life. He was just changing his wardrobe. You know, he had blue, red, and white. Then he had green, white, green. Then he had... The man got a coat of many colors once. And we've repeated it. But we don't repeat his jail sentence, his unfair sentencing. We don't repeat his agony, saying, trying to connect, to network, to get out of jail. Just like you. Just exactly what you and I would do. Eventually, he got out of jail because Pharaoh also had a dream. And there was no one. And God will make sure that the problem that will sprout you from your situation, no other person will be able to solve it. I always say, God showed me, that there's a reason why we Christians should never be depressed or hopeless. God has a billion ways of solving our problems. 1 billion ways. We Christians are the ones that can step out of a house in the morning with a problem. We just don't know the day. But one day, we'll return home without the same problem. It's just the way God works. He said, I am the Lord. What is impossible for me? So Pharaoh also had a dream, and there was no one. He made sure that none of the sorcerers in Egypt could interpret it. And then the butler remembered, there's a Hebrew man. He interpreted my dream. Let him call. And I'd like us to read that, because that's where we're going to close. Verse 12 of chapter 41, the butler remembered him and told Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, but I've had it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I don't want us to just breathe through this, because I also want us to learn what sets these Bible men apart from most of us today. Here's a man who has suffered tremendously, and his dreams had not been accomplished. In the time of trouble, before, do you understand what it means to come before Pharaoh? There's no comparison today. There's hardly any monarch that can do like this and you're dead today. For an ordinary slave in prison to come before Pharaoh, I was watching TV and we saw, what's his name? The one that just got married in the Charles or what's his name? Eh? Harry and the wife. And there was a newscast about the wife holding up an umbrella, you know, and that was a big deal because it's so cute that your wife helped you to open. And I said, I'm carrying my baby every day. Nobody's carrying me on the news. Anyway, that is monarchy. He was a special person. This Pharaoh was a greater monarchy. And here was an ordinary boy whose life was at the mercy, who, by the way, had been praying for redemption. At this point, I don't know any comparison. It's not like appearing before Trump. I'm not going to shake if I appear before Trump. I don't know. I just can't think of any comparison. Joseph should be, yes. But these men, despite their trials, they never lose their trust in the Lord and their confidence. By this time, many of us would have become bitter. We would have started accusing the Lord. After all, it was the one that, wasn't it there when my brothers were selling me to slavery? Was it not there when I went to jail? As if it's not enough that I was a slave. By this time, most of us are not ready to talk about God anymore. But see what this man said. And that's what you must learn. This is the only difference, not their experiences. It is their faith that sets them apart from us. And it is their faith that we ought to emulate. Joseph boldly said to a whole Pharaoh, he said, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Many of us can't even talk about God in our workplaces. Many of us can't even mention Jesus to our colleagues anymore. This man was declaring the God of his father before Pharaoh. Let's pray that God gives to us the same mindset that he gave to this man. Say, oh, it's not proper to mention God in the workplace anymore. Joseph could mention God before Pharaoh. Let's develop our relationship with God so that no circumstance will change how we feel about our God. He must remain our singular glory and honor and the lifter up of our head and our deliverer. He was proud to proclaim his God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood in the bank, and he told him the dream. And the 7 years of famine interpretation and 7 years of plenty interpretation came. We're familiar with our story. Let's skip it. I'd like us to go to verse 34 to see what this man, not only did he interpret the dream, this man was ready to give a solution this Joseph. When you walk in the gift of God, you will be brimming over with confidence when you remain in your lane in Christ.
He went on to advise Pharaoh. He said, let Pharaoh appoint officers over the land. I don't remember Pharaoh telling him, what should I do? But now he was filled with the Holy Ghost. To collect 1/5 of the produce of the land in Egypt in 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in cities. Then that food shall be reserved for the land for the 7 years of famine. God gave him wisdom. You see, when the Bible says you shall be the head and not the tail, the Bible implies in the calling that God has given you. And before I leave, I'd just like to ask, isn't this wisdom? Shouldn't we copy this principle in our personal lives as well? In the year when it is good for you, shouldn't you be keeping 20% as well? Shouldn't? Wasn't this wisdom from above for us? May the Lord grant to us the grace. Even if we can't do it, we should start teaching. When we're looking for a financial principle to teach our children before the responsibilities, before, let's begin to teach them this. Because you and I know every year will not be plentiful. When I read this, I'm like, 20%? When you have a job, lock up 20%. Because there will be 7 years when you will not have a job. I mean, it just makes sense to me. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. For 13 years, his life was going through different swings and plots. I'll point out two things and then we close. Chapter 42, verse 21. Remember the story of when he revealed himself to his brothers. So they came to the land. They came to buy food. These were the 12 tribes of Israel coming to Egypt. Can you see the irony? Jacob's children coming to cursed Egypt, the same Egypt that was to be destroyed. According to prophecy, God's children were begging for food, begging to buy food. Now, if you were a neutral observer, which one, will it be Egypt or Jacob that you say is blessed? As of this time, it will appear as though Egypt is the blessed one. God has a plan. God has a plan. His plans are not always moment. Do not lose. He has a long-term plan. And he will bring it to pass. 42, verse 21. I like to point out the statement that the brothers made. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. This was after Joseph threw them into prison. You know, he was playing with them. When he realized that they were his brothers and they came to Egypt, they didn't know he was the prime minister. They didn't know that was Joseph. So he made life very hard for them initially. So they were discussing in prison and they said, why is this bad thing happening to us? It must be because of that terrible thing that we did. At that moment in your life when strange things are happening to you and you start remembering all the things you did wrong, and you're saying, it must be because I did not pray in the morning. It must be because at times we're trying to second guess. We're trying to figure out why strange things are happening to us all the time. They were persuaded that it was the blood of Joseph that was being requited from them. Remember, they sold Joseph to the Moabites. And the Moabites sold Joseph to the Egyptians. So they had no idea that he was in Egypt. They were just speculating. They remembered something they did 13 years prior to that. Wow, God is catching up with us. But is that the case? Does God really visit you according to your iniquity? Really? God has a plan. That plan is greater than any mistake that you may have made in your life, dear. God does not judge you based on the plots in your life. Just believe in him. He does not punish you. The Bible says he's copious in mercy. He's slow to anger. He's not quick to chide. We'll round up. Open to chapter 45. Let's read verse 5. From verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. This story really touches my heart. This story really taught me a lot, and it touches my heart. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you. Let's shut our Bibles. We must be very patient when we study the Bible, brothers. God is not in a hurry. This book contains everything we need to know the plan of God. We can't be in a hurry. The Bible story from Genesis to Revelation is consistent. Those who have no understanding finding consistency in it. The wisdom of God is revealed in the face of Christ in this book. Let's pray that God will show us his plan and we'll be patient enough to follow it. Let's pray that we'll not get lost in the plots, but we set our gaze on Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever it is, are you born again? Are you truly born again? Are you truly born again today? Whatever it is that you are going through is exactly what God wants you to go through. And all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. I only ask one thing, Lord, because we are people. Give us the courage to stand by you. In Jesus' name we pray.